Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. That's right, your own station. You've got to love that. Appreciate you guys being with us again as we talk Raider football. And coming up here in just a few minutes, Ted Nguyen from The Athletic. For all you film geeks out there, you know exactly who he is. I'm sure you have a bobblehead or something of him on your desk. Because Ted does some great, great work. So if you're into film, and I'm learning from it, I'm not a film junkie, but when I need to learn, I go watch Ted stuff because I learn a lot about not only the Raiders on offense and defense, but the entire NFL. So make sure you listen to him coming up here in just a few minutes. First, though, we had a press conference we attended today via Zoom Q, and we heard from Nick Kwiatkowski and we heard from Jason Witten. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, starting with Witten's comment on his new teammates. So I asked him a question on the personality of this team, because we'll get to the technical stuff in a second. But I asked him, you know, hey, you haven't been around these guys as much, but what kind of personality are you sensing from them, and how is the gelling happening? And here's what he had to say.
That's it. You know, when it's time to work, guys work, you know, and when it's time to get together, we've had some different Zoom meetings that have given us an opportunity to get to know guys maybe a little bit off the field, you know, where you're from, you know, tell us about your family and your experience. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do. You know, it's just when you want to come in and have a veteran presence, you got to, you know, share with guys and you got to be open to that. And I think inside of a locker room, a lot of that just kind of happens pretty natural. You know, when you have good guys with no ego and want to achieve something special, you got to approach it that way. So I've been blown away by that approach of just very open, very gracious, sharing their experiences. I think Coach Gruden's created an environment that's allowed for that, you know, get to know the guy a little bit. And it is. It's a challenge for the entire league right now and with all the that's going on to be able to – that's a big part of playing in this league. You got to be able to trust the guy beside you, you know, and know that he's going to – what he's about. And you can count on him at critical times. And I think from the new guys coming in here, understanding what that standard is and then try to, you know, put your own little – twist on it and your experiences and share that. So I think that's been a good experience for us, and I think it'll only continue to grow as now that we're together.
So Q, I think this is a big deal, because it's why I asked the question, because even though we're going to talk more about the football side of things and being ready for football, anybody who's played sports, I don't care what level you've played sports at, the camaraderie, the connection that you make with your teammates, whether it be in the locker room, on the field, whatever, it's so very important to how the team kind of matures together and kind of gets to its set goal, right?
Right, no doubt. And the thing about it is, you're only as good as your weakest link. You know what I mean? And so you want to be on the same page with everybody. You want to have that continuity. You want to just understand what the next man next to you is going to do. And, you know, I know we're going to talk defense pretty soon. And what Jason Witten said there about playing for the man next to him, I know he's a tight end, he's on offense, but that really applies to the defense in a major way.
Yes.
And the Raiders, who we're expecting to be a lot better on defense this year with the players that they have, that's going to be the biggest key. They have to be able to trust the man next to them to do their job. The minute they try to overcompensate and do the next man's job because they don't think he's going to do it, that's when you get burned.
No doubt about it. We want to hear one more cut from Witten, because I thought Vic Tafer, our friend from The Athletic, asked the question about, because Witten had said earlier in an answer, hey, I'm here to make sure that whatever my role is, you know, I do what I'm supposed to, in essence. And so Vic asked him, what exactly is your role with the Raiders? And here's what Witten had to say.
Well, I think it'll evolve as we unfold, Vic. I think right now, obviously, it's a talented tight end room, you know, and I certainly, young in my career, had a lot of great mentors and role models, coaches and players alike, that showed me the game, you know, and could give input and trying to help me take that next step. And so I think it starts with Darren Waller, what kind of year he had last year in the future, Foster Moreau, and being a young player, and I come in. And you know, Coach Gruden's had a way with veteran players in later parts of their career, and certainly understand that. So, you know, I'm just really excited for the opportunity, knowing that that fit and role is, you know, it's going to change, and it's going to be probably different than what I've experienced throughout my career. But be a veteran presence for this team. I think they got, you know, I've had high standards for myself and the experiences that I've had in playing. And, you know, so much of the tight end position is kind of the all the little nuances that go in that allow you to be successful in the run game, pass protection, and route running. You know, and I've been fortunate to stay healthy and find ways to kind of be savvy enough to still have an edge to you. And so just be there to share my experiences, certainly on the field, communicate as a veteran player, and whatever that role kind of evolves to.
So Q, clearly he understands what his role is. It's to be that mentor, to be that veteran in that young tight end room that has some very good talent like Darren Waller. But you can tell from how he phrased all that, he believes he's got stuff left in the tank and he wants to contribute.
Right. He wants to be a factor. I mean, he's always been a factor throughout his whole career. I was wondering, because I wasn't on that call, if anyone asked him about Austin Hooper from Cleveland, his comments that he made last week about he's not, you know, it's not him or nobody else. You know, like he was basically a selfish player. And I've never seen that from Jason Witten. And we all know I'm sitting in the middle of Texas, have covered the Cowboys for a long time. I've never seen him as a jealous type player or it's all about me and nobody else. I've always seen him as a guy who's willing to help the next man. But he's fiery. He is fired up. You know, he believes that he could contribute in a major way, and I think he can. But at the same time, he does know there's a lot of talent in that tight end room.
All right. Well, we're going to go from offense to defense now, and we're going to bring in Ted Nguyen from The Athletic Bay Area. Of course, you can follow him at FB for football underscore analysis. And Ted, before we dive into your great story, and you guys, if you haven't read the story yet that Ted wrote about the Cover 6 defense, please do so. It'll confuse you for a while. I had to read it like three times, Ted, by the way, which is probably why I got C's in college. But nonetheless, before we dive into that Cover 6 that you explained so excellently, let's first take a 50,000-foot level view of Paul Gunther's defense. What's the basic Gunther / Raiders defense, and what are the biggest misconceptions or misunderstandings about it?
Well, you know, he comes from that Minnesota Vikings Mike Zimmer type of coaching tree, and that involves a lot of quarters. That involves a lot of man match, which is different from just playing zone and just playing man. There's some man zone principles depending on what players run, and it could get complicated. But if you perfect a set of defense, it could be very tough on quarterbacks, and you have answers for a lot of things if you could do it. It's a single gap type of defense, so you want quick, aggressive guys up front. And I think, you know, they did themselves a favor by hiring Rod Marinelli, who coaches that exact same exact style of defense up front. And they were, you know, he was famous for doing the two A gap mug type of blitz or fake blitz at times too. We haven't seen much of that, but you know, right now the Raiders are a They play a lot of cover one, and they play a lot of cover six, which I explained in the article.
Ted, it's always been talked about that in Paul Gunther's defensive scheme, you don't need a big-time linebacker to execute. It's been said time and time and time again, and we all know that linebacker has been the Achilles heel for the Raiders' defense. What exactly is needed as far as the linebackers go to be successful in Paul Gunther's scheme?
I think this type of defense allows the linebackers to, you know, they have help over the top of the safeties, so they play a lot of two high safeties, play a lot of quarters coverage where the linebackers have to, you know, they end up matching on underneath the routes instead of having to cover downfield if it's ran right. But the linebackers have been so bad these past couple years that we really haven't seen them, you know, execute the job they're supposed to, so it's kind of hard judging Paul Gunther's just based on what we've seen from the linebackers. And I think, you know, with Nick Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski, is going to make a huge difference. They're so good in coverage. But, yeah, just one of the things that the Raider linebackers have been so bad at, especially this last year, is just falling for play action. And that, you know, being able to read play action and reading real run has to do with the feel for the game, and they just didn't have that. So hopefully with the big upgrades in free agency, they'll be a lot better at linebacker.
Again, we're talking Ted Nguyen from the Athletic Bay Area about the Cover 6 and the Paul Gunther defense. And Ted, you know, you mentioned it in your story that, look, if you're going to play in this scheme, you got to be smart. You got to be able to communicate. So that you see a guy like Nick Kwiatkowski come in here, he seems like the perfect candidate. They've given him the green dot, and so he's going to be in charge of that. And he's shown that, you know, doesn't mean always you're going to be the most physically dominant athlete, but if you can play in the scheme and have the ability to communicate like he does, then clearly having a Corey Littleton next to you helps out too. But with the Cover 6, you say 17% of pass plays, which some people might say, well, that's not very much, but it was the most frequently used pass defense, as you say. Talk about the basics of the Cover 6 and why you think Gunther and the Raiders prefer that positioning for their defense.
Well, Cover 6 is a combo coverage where they're going to play one coverage on one side of the field, another coverage on the other side. So with this particular type of combo coverage, you're going to have quarters coverage or cover four to one side, and then you're going to have cover two zone to the other side. So, you know, with quarters, it's kind of like man, it's kind of like zone, where it just depends on what kind of routes are being ran or what kind of call they make on the back end. And then on cover two, you just have your classic cover two shell with one deep safety, a cornerback, and a flat. And they could change that into two man depending on what call they see, or maybe, you know, if it's in the game plan or not.
Talking right now with Ted Nguyen from The Athletic, talking all things Raiders on Raider Nation Radio 920. And John Cruden the other day mentioned Malik Collins being the key to the Raiders' defense. And I don't necessarily disagree, because I think that position, that defensive tackle, is very, very important. But how important, you mentioned Rob Marinelli earlier, how important is that defensive tackle in this defensive scheme that Paul Gunther is running?
Yeah, you know, like I said before, it's a single gap type of defense, which allows for defensive tackles to be extremely aggressive. They don't have to, you know, two gap or hold their block for long. They're shooting gaps, and you know, that's what the Raiders hope they got in Maurice Hurst, who, you know, played better than what the numbers said last year. But they're hoping with a guy like Malik Collins also in a mix that, you know, he'll be able to cause more havoc. I mean, you saw what Gunther did with Geno Atkins in Cincinnati. Just having that interior pressure guy that could just, you know, cause all sorts of problems for defenses and cause penetration, it helps the run defense. And if you could get some interior pressure as well, that helps out the edge guys. So, yeah, I mean, Collins is a guy that is developing. You know, he had an extremely high pressure percentage last year. Hasn't put together the sack numbers yet, but, you know, the Raiders hope that he's going to be a steal and be that disruptor inside.
And Ted, one of the things you brought up in this piece too, which I think really is important to point out to, I think, fans, because we watch fans, we watch people, the Raiders particularly, obviously draft guys out of college, and we usually, as casual fans, we will look at them and their physical and athletic ability and judge whether or not it was a good draft pick. But in your point around Cover 6, you use two cornerbacks, Gerrion Conley and Trayvon Mullen, and you say, hey, listen, Conley had all the physical attributes of a great cornerback in the league, but he really had trouble with the kind of multifaceted scheme that Gunther has, versus Mullen, who might not be as physically gifted as Conley, but he picked up the system. So when the Raiders look at their draft and they look at people like Damon Arnett, what do they have to look for versus just the pure physical talent?
Yeah, like you mentioned, you have to be intelligent. You have to play, you know, you have to be able to play different techniques with different coverages. You have to make different calls. And, you know, you're doing this all on the fly, too. So you can't just be a strict cover one guy and just expect to play man-to-man. You have to be able to make those changes on the fly. And that's one thing Conley struggled with. And that's a reason why he got benched, was just, you know, he was making too many mental mistakes. And you saw that he had the talent there when he knew what he was doing. It's just, you know, you can't make those mental mistakes when in those games, because it could cost you a big play, and that might end up making a difference between a win and a loss. So with a guy like Trayvon Mullen, and, you know, they like AJ Terrell, the other corner from from Clemson, who ended up getting drafted by the Falcons, too. Those guys have experience in this type of defense and this type of coverage. So you have some evidence that they can make that that mental leap into the NFL and into this type of system.
Sticking with the cornerback position, a term that we hear all the time when you talk about Paul Gunther in the defense is the motoring out scheme. We've been hearing that since Gruden came back in 2018 and brought Paul Gunther with him. What exactly is the motoring out scheme, and why is it so difficult for a lot of defensive backs to pick it up?
I believe it's a bump and run type of technique where you're mirroring a guy outside and just make sure you get your hand on him. I'm not exactly sure what that means in this system. It could mean different things to different people, but I think it's a type of bump and run type of technique that they really have to focus on getting a hand on a receiver and disrupting his route a little bit at least.
So Ted, when you look at this, particularly the draft class this year, when you look at Arnett, you look at Amik Robertson, from what you've seen on film from those guys, good fit?
Yeah, for sure. I think, when the Raiders signed Darryl Worley, I didn't think the fit was there because Worley, coming from Carolina, played a lot of off coverage, played a lot of zone coverage. And he just didn't, I didn't see him bump and run that much out of Carolina. And, with Arnett, he played at Ohio State, and they played a ton of cover one. Anytime you draft a guy from Ohio State, he's going to have a ton of bump and run coverage. And, he's going to be able to work, he's going to be able to execute those techniques, like the motor technique, right off the bat. But they didn't run a ton of quarters and cover six at Ohio State. But, maybe the Raiders talk to him and they feel comfortable with where he is mentally and they think he'll pick up the defense. But, at least he has a lot of bump and run experience, and that fits into into Gunther's system.
How much do you see Trayvon Mullen improving in year two?
I think he's going to make a huge improvement. I mean, just looking at what he did last year, if you remember in week one, he got forced into action after Conley got hurt. And he just got burned by Emmanuel Sanders in week one. And then, 7 weeks later, week eight, when he finally gets a chance to go in, he just looked like a dramatically better corner. He still gave up some big plays, but, he was going against some tough receivers like Cortland Sutton, DeAndre Hopkins. But he made a lot of plays, too, and he was pretty solid, especially for a rookie. So I think there's a lot of hope that, he could take that next step and become a really good corner next year, and hopefully he becomes a staple in that secondary for a long time.
Ted, before we let you go, one of the guys I think that Raider fans talk a lot about because they feel like he's maybe playing out of position is LaMarcus Joyner. What are you seeing from him, especially towards the tail end of last year? Do you think LaMarcus Joyner is going to be able to either pick up his game and keep a spot, or you see something different for him?
Yeah, the nickel position in this defense is they ask a lot of the nickel position. He has to play a lot of different roles. He has to play in the flats. Sometimes he has to play man-to-man. Sometimes he's playing in a linebacker position in the box and actually has to make linebacker type of reads. He's blitzing. So really, he's like a kind of a hybrid between a strong safety and a nickel. And, there were times where he did give up some big plays just because he just wasn't great in just straight man-to-man coverage. But I think another year in this system and learning the nickel position and transitioning, I think, he could live up to his potential and what we thought he was going to be when he first got signed here. So, I'm not willing to write him off just yet. I think let's give him a chance, see what he can do with another year under his belt. And again, it's just tough to play defensive back when you aren't getting a lot of pressure, and the Raiders just did not get a lot of pressure last year, and that's one of the contributing factors into Joyner not playing well or any member of the secondary not playing too well.
Absolutely. Ted Nguyen from The Athletic NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at @FB_FilmAnalysis. A must follow on Twitter. Ted, we appreciate it. We'll have you on again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Ted Nguyen from The Athletic. So, Q, we got a little smarter there, no?
Yeah, we got a little bit smarter, you know, kind of starting to understand Paul Gunther's scheme a little bit more. And ultimately, man, I mean, you got to be pretty heady. You know, you got to be pretty smart with what you're doing. It's not just about being out there on the grass and reading, reacting. It's about being smart as well, knowing what your expectations are and where your reads are. So these guys got to step up, man. They got a lot of work to do. This defense has got to get better. And this secondary in particular has got to get better. And, of course, Corey Littleton and Nick Wachowski is going to help out as well at the linebacking core.
Well, and Q, that's the question we ask today, right, on our side of debate, our Raider Nation debates, which we have every day we are on the air. So check out sided.co, and you'll see it there, or download the app on your phone, which is free, and you can take part in it, because that's what we asked. We said, Raider Nation, does Paul Gunther have the players he needs to profoundly improve the defense? And boy, the no's were way ahead last night when I put it up so far today, and we'll give you the results here in about 10 minutes. But right now, the no's are still in the lead, but the yeses have caught up. And from what Ted said there, Q, looking at this team, especially at that linebacker position, which now we know Gunther's defense needs linebackers. You just need the right kind of linebackers. They seem to have the guys in place. I'm not saying every person is a all-pro, but I'm thinking when I look at this defense, they suddenly have the right personnel with the right mindset and the right physical abilities to make a jump.
They really do, and I don't understand what the no's are looking at. I mean, I really don't. Yeah. Because for years, the Raiders' defense has been lacking. But they got defensive line. They got a defensive line coach. They got the corners that I think are there. They got a secondary coach. I mean, they got safeties. You know, they got Abram coming back, and hopefully he could be the guy everyone expects him to be. But I feel like the defense has improved in a major way over the offseason, the draft, and free agency. And I really don't understand what else is needed. Now, you can add some extra parts to it to make it even better, like a Jadeveon Clowney. I'd be cool with that. You know, you can never have too many guys on the defensive line. But as far as I'm concerned, the pieces are there to the puzzle to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe, too, it's been so long since Raiders fans have seen linebackers that they don't realize the two that they got in this offseason that are going to play in this system and are the right guys to play in the system. I think once they watch them play for a while, they're going to say, wow, it's nice to have linebackers there, and it's nice to see them play and then see how that system works so much better than they anticipated. But make sure you go up on sided.co or on the Sided app on your phone, and you got a few minutes left to vote. And I agree with you, Q. I don't know what the people who say no are seeing. I'm hoping now they've listened to Ted and they can and us, and they can jump on now and maybe change their vote or start to at least look into it to understand it better. But we're going to step aside and pay some bills. When we come back, the show rolls on. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. Oh, yeah. Give me some reggae.
I like reggae.
Yeah.
Reggae makes me feel like I'm in the Bay Area in Santa Cruz. You know what I mean? I'm on the beach boardwalk. I'm out there chilling with my Rasta man.
Skanking, baby. Let's go. All right. Well, Q told me during the break we need new booty. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I know what that means.
No, you know what it means. I'm asking the audience if they know what it means. Give us a call, 702-365-9200. We got time for you. We want to hear what you have to say. We're going out now on the line to Cody. Cody, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Central California.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you. Scott and Q, I want to commend you guys, first of all, for all your hard work and providing some good talk for us Raiders fans.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that.
You.
And as you know yourself, it's all a grind, and you just got to keep working hard.
Hey, exactly. That's why a lot of us started doing a lot of these talk shows was because we didn't have the content. And for the first time, I think, ever now, when we're traveling to Vegas, I'm going to feel the need to want to listen to, you know, the local Raiders station. Because before, every game I went to Oakland, I never felt the need, you know, to turn on that station. I never wanted to listen to it because it wasn't anything I wanted to hear. Every minute that I've heard from you guys, I've loved it. But I will say one topic here. You guys are talking defense and if Paul Gunther has the tools. Hearing that a lot of the voters said no is a little baffling to me. I mean, looking at the tail end of our season, it didn't go the way, you know, we planned those last handful of games. But I felt like the defense was starting to mesh. And looking at the personnel that we had last year at the tail end of the season that was meshing, we're still carrying over to this year. And then we revamped the linebackers. We got a linebacker group that we don't even understand. We took a pass rush that was way far past dead last to middle of the pack last year. And now adding a talent like Malik Collins, who we've already, you know, heard quite a bit about from John Gruden, and a little bit of nastiness to the secondary. Guys, I don't understand where the nose are coming from, because I'm, for the first time in a while, pretty fired up for the talent on this defense.
No, Cody, I agree with you, man. Thank you so much for your call and for listening, and we appreciate you. And yeah, I mean, Q, that's the thing. Again, you look at the defense particularly. I know people overlook it because they lost games and they kind of went on that spin at the end of the year. But if you look individually at some of those positions, like the guys like Trayvon Mullen, like Cleveland Farrell in the front, they were getting better as the year went on. Results weren't, but they were. So when you look at that objectively and you watch some of the tape from the end of the year, coupled with the acquisitions and the draft picks, I'm really excited about the defense.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what Cody said, they got some dudes, man. They got some absolute dudes on the defensive side of the ball. You look at the defensive line, there's a lot of talent there. You look in the secondary, there's a lot of talent there. And most importantly, you look at the linebackers, and there's talent there. We talked about Kwiatkowski. We talked about Littleton. But we haven't started to talk about Javon White. We haven't talked about Tanner Muse. You know, we haven't talked about other guys that can make impacts as well. I'm excited about the talent that is there. I don't understand why people say that there's not enough talent on the defensive side of the ball. If Paul Gunther can't figure out how to get these guys to be a top 15 defense, they don't have to be top 5. They don't have to be top 3. They got to be middle of the pack defense. They've got to be able to go out there and get off the field in important situations. You know, if the Raiders are up 6 and they need a stop, they got to be able to get out there and get a stop. It's bottom line. They got the dudes to do it. They just got to go out there and execute.
All right, we're going back on the phone lines. Raider Loke, you're with Q and Scott on Silver and Black today. What's up, my man?
Loke dog.
What is up, guys? How's it going?
Good, buddy. What do you got to say today?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's been great. First-time caller. I've been listening to you guys since last week, catching up on this weekend. I was smoking up some leaves and trenches. I'd enjoyed my weekend. But I kind of called into Q's podcast. I wanted to just chime in with you, Scott. What's your take on wide receiver, Say Jones? He's not really getting a lot of talk. I know we traded for him this season. I mean, I in my opinion, he's kind of my breakout player of the year. This is his contract season going into his fourth year. And, you know, he has that football DNA in him with the NFL. His dad was a 3-time Super Bowl champ. His uncle was a QB. So I feel like his father left the legacy for him, too. And he was one of the first to put in that work with DC, so... He's not getting a lot of talk. I know we got Edwards, we got Waller, we got Henry Ruggs, but I feel like he's going to break out this season for some reason. I just feel it.
Raider Loke in the 626. Good call, my man. Appreciate you. It's good to hear from you. And look, Zay Jones is a guy, like you mentioned, man. He was out there on the grass. He was out there putting in some work with DC early in the offseason. I'm not sure what the expectations are for him, really. I mean, he hasn't done a whole lot yet in the league. I know he's got a lot of effort and a lot of want to, but the Raiders have a lot of talent right now. You know, there's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room and a lot of guys that are going to be hungry for jobs. So maybe he can fight some guys off during training camp and find himself a position. But I'll tell you, between Nelson Aguilar, Zay Jones, Rico Gafford, I don't have a lot of hope for any of those guys, and I realize that somebody out of those guys, maybe two guys, are going to make it. I just don't see them having a major role with the Raiders just because there's so much talent and there's not enough balls to go around. But I would be, you know, pleasantly shocked, and I have no problem with being wrong if Zay Jones were able to go out there and carve out a niche and a little bit of a role for himself. I just don't see it right away.
Yeah, and Loke, I think, too, that if you look at him, I like Zay Jones as a player. I like what you said about him putting in the time with Derek Carr, playing out at the parks. I watched him practice with Carr. He looked good. He was attentive. He was very focused on what he was doing out there. But as Q said, the talent level has gone up significantly. I think Jones actually might be a trade candidate during camp. I mean, you look how the Raiders have done things in the past. He could end up going to join Amari Cooper in Dallas. I mean, I think that's an opportunity, and since Q's down there, we'll have him sneak around and see what he can find out. But I think he's one of those guys, Q, that has enough talent. He sticks around. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a guy who's going to push for a starting spot, and depending on the roster situation, he's either a guy who makes the roster or he's a guy that they look to move. But I don't necessarily expect him out on the street, although he may be. But if the Raiders can find some value for him, I could see him as a trade candidate.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, going back to, you know, the expectations for him, sometimes you just aren't the most talented dude in the room. And you could be the hardest working dude, but if you don't have as much talent as the next guys, and this is a league where you're based off of performance, you're judged off your performance, you might kind of get the short end of the stick. Again, I think he's going to work really hard. I think he's going to put his best foot forward. I just think he may be on the outside looking in when it's all said and done.
Yeah, Loke, thanks for the call, man. Give us a buzz, 702-365-9200. What do you want to talk about today? You want to talk about the Jason Witten press conference?
Not that you're about to ask me. I was like, well.
We want to talk about Raiders, Scott. Come on, man. But you're with Q and Scott again on Raider Nation Radio. And, guys, here's the thing, too. We also heard from Nick Kwiatkowski at the press conference today, and there were some questions for him, too. We want to play you this cut where Kwiatkowski talks a little bit about being on this defense and what this team's been able to do thus far with this shortened camp.
Definitely a nice, you know, just finally meet people in person, kind of get an understanding how things are going to work from here on out, and just be on the field. You know, it's you sit in Zoom meetings, you look at pictures, watch film. It's nothing like actually getting on the field and doing things, you know, working on technique, you know, just making those communications in person rather than Zoom. So, I mean, just being here, it feels great. I mean, it's very helpful.
There you go, Nick Kwiatkowski. Of course, you got to love that Zoom audio, right, Q?
Oh, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Drives me crazy, but it's what it is.
It is what it is, right? You got to deal with it now. But again, Kwiatkowski coming in, there was a couple questions, too, of him about taking that leadership role and being the guy. And I like this kid. He's cool. He's collected. He seems ready for it. And to me, again, that linebacking core, because they can go sideline to sideline, I think Raider fans are finally going to be able to watch a capable linebacking core that's going to make them forget about the last several years.
I agree. You know, the Raiders haven't had a solid linebacking core since Kirk Morrison and Thomas Howard. Rest in peace to Thomas Howard. But the law firm of Morrison and Howard was exceptional. And unfortunately, the Raiders haven't had it since then. But I think Nick Kwiatkowski is being slept on a lot. I think a lot of folks didn't realize how big of a player he was in Chicago and the fact that he filled in quite a bit. You know, he was a guy that filled in when Danny Trevathan went down. He was a guy that filled in when the other linebacker, I forget, from Georgia, he went down and he filled in there as well. Every opportunity he had to fill in, he took that role and he rolled with it, you know, and he did a good job. There was a fact that Packer fans wanted him, and Bears fans were nervous that he was actually going to sign as a free agent with Green Bay, and they'd have to face him twice a year. The dude can play, and I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise for Raider Nation fans.
No doubt about it. Again, if you haven't heard, although we talk about Raider football here in the NFL, college football seeing a rash of cancellations, not unexpected. The latest, of course, relevant here in Las Vegas is the Mountain West says it will not play games in the fall and is postponing its season. Notice not cancel, although Q, how do you play a spring football season? Now, for some of these mid-majors, maybe not as much of a deal, but if you're a player that might be drafted in the NFL, and maybe
you're not playing.
Right, you're not playing. You're
just simple
gonna,
as that.
Yeah, you're going to have to sit out. So it'll be interesting to see how the cascade effect to all that, if some of these conferences do go to some sort of spring season to recoup some of the revenue, as you talked about earlier, how that affects that. Because especially if you're going to be a pro football player, if you're going to be in the draft, if you think you're going to be someone who's got a good shot, you're not going to play and risk it by playing in the spring, bumping up against the NFL draft.
No, you're not even thinking about it. You have no plans on it, and that's what's going to affect a lot of teams. You know, a lot of these players realize, you see them not playing in bowl games. You think they ain't going to play in the regular season and take a chance of getting hurt? If they're a top three, and I mean top three round pick, if they feel like that they're pretty much solidified in the top three rounds, there's absolutely no reason to go ahead and try to play the season as well, because you're just taking more risk to your body, and you don't want that.
Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation Radio hotline. We'll get you on the air. And Q, with the college football, you know, I've always been very optimistic about everything, about all this crap that we've all gone through with this pandemic. I'm the guy who says, hey, I'm always looking at the glass half full, right? Despite some dark days and whatnot in our country during this time. So when it came to college sports in the fall and the NFL, I was optimistic. But as time has gone on, as we've seen what's happened, you know, unfairly, people are comparing it to the NFL. You can't do that. You can't say the NFL, I got my second test today. I see the expense that they're going to protect their staff and players. you cannot replicate that at every university at every level in the NCAA. I just don't think you can do it. So if you can't do that and you believe that that is the standard, how can you expect that there would be college football?
Right, exactly. The NFL has the money and they have the means to go ahead and get it done, where college football, every program does not. You know, and some of the teams that some of these other programs are going to be playing, if a big Power Five is playing, you know, a smaller time school, that small school may not have the ability to test as often as they should. So there's a lot of differences between college football and the NFL. And the NFL has shown the whole time that they're not going to miss a beat. No matter what has been going on, they are still trucking along. You know, they're ready to go ahead and play a football season. Is it going to look the same? No. Is it going to be strange? Yes. Will there be some interruptions? Possibly. But they're going to get these games played because they have the means to do all the testing that they can.
All right. We're going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, we'll close out our
show. No breaks.
No breaks. We're going to close out the show, and then we're going to talk to Vinny Bonsignor, of course, whose show In the Huddle comes next. Some guy I never heard of, some Brent Musburger or somebody's going to be on Vinny's show today, so you don't want to miss that. Of course, the play-by-play voice, legendary play-by-play voice of the Raiders now. And, of course, I grew up watching on CBS with Irv Cross and all those guys as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be back right after this on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. Welcome back. Q, I know you're grooving.
Oh, I am, all the time.
Of course.
Man, our guy on the wheels of steel is killing it.
Chris Chapman, engineer, producer for us today, as always, doing a great job. And he has a special someone on the line for us, someone that we know well here at Silver and Black Today, Raider Dave in Denver. Raider Dave, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Hey there. Well, I just kind of was surprised, like a lot of people, when Witten came to the Raiders. Not that that tight end room needs help, but, you know, we had injuries, so the more the merrier, and the skillful the better. But it kind of made me wonder what he would do in a year or two when he's done playing. And I thought, well, Musburger might retire. Could he get into the booth and do color analyst, and then Link would get the job that he so much deserves to be a play-by-play guy?
Well, it's a good question, Dave, and thank you so much for the call. The good news is, you know, Brent Musburger's up next. We'll ask Vinny Bonsignor about it, of course, in the huddle coming up at 4 o'clock right after this show. But it's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, somebody like Jason Witten, who had that career, and I know some people really criticized him for his Monday Night Football performance. I thought it was fine. Maybe the team didn't work out as well, and clearly ratings for Monday Night Football have been going south for many, many years. I don't think that was his fault. But he's a smart guy. He's a great leader. Vinny, I'll bring you in on this as well. And I think he's the kind of guy who can kind of do anything he wants when he's done playing football.
Yeah, I could see him working for a team. I could see him going to the booth. I could see him playing a couple more years, too. And, you know, I know it surprised some people when the Raiders signed him. I remember I got the text, Jason Witten, you know, and I was like, what? Jason what? Witten? That one just came out of nowhere. But I got it, and I understood the thought process. Now especially, and looking back, it was kind of a genius move because of everything that's gone on in this offseason, or didn't go on in this offseason, you need leadership. And I saw a guy by the name of Andrew Whitworth come into the Rams locker room and completely take over that locker room. It was a locker room that had a lot of, it reminds me a lot of this Raiders team because it was a bunch of young, conscientious, dedicated kids. The Ram players that they were building around, like the Aaron Donalds and the Michael Brockers, guys like that, that had leadership qualities but probably weren't ready to lead just yet and needed somebody to show the way. I think the Raiders are in that situation right now. I was really struck by the dedication and conscientiousness of the young players in that locker room. It's the first thing that I looked for, and I could see it one way or another. I've seen it both from both sides, and you know the knucklehead factor, and you know the conscientious factor. I saw conscientiousness. I saw some guys that really loved football and wanted to play, and you can tell that. The demeanor was right. Are they ready to lead? Maybe not. It's a very, very young team across right. the board. A guy like Jason Witten comes in there and is a example of what it looks like, what it sounds like, how it's supposed to translate, how it works, how hard it works, the dedication. He is the embodiment of what the Raiders are looking for and can lead the way, and now more than ever with everything that's going on. So I think that that kind of a player, we'll see what he does on the field. I think he'll have his moments. I think he'll play a factor. He's just too savvy not to. But I think that in the locker room, it's going to be even more important. And I don't scoff at that. People want to raise their eyebrows. Oh, you're going, you know, oh, that's corn. Oh, you know, come on. How much is it? It matters a lot. Sure. And I think that he's the perfect kind of a guy. And I'm going to talk a lot about this in the show today. The perfect, just listening to him for those 15 minutes today, you knew. You can see. I mean, we knew it anyway. But then when you actually see it and hear it, and he's doing that every day in the locker room. So that resonates, and that's important.
Yeah, and I was telling Chris earlier, Vinny, that the press conference and listening to Jason and how he goes and his answers and how measured they are, and knowing that all the guys are watching him, even in things like that. And you talk about conscientiousness, dealing with players too, even in doing radio and seeing how that the organization, how they're on schedule. We've had a lot of athletes, I'm sure, like you, who are not that way and bounce out on you, and it's very hard to track them down. I have not had that experience with any of the Raider players. In fact, it's been the opposite,
right,
to where they're reaching out to you, and it's like you're just doing your job, but they are there to make sure they get the job done, and that's good. Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about was the college football thing. Now, Vinny, you are well connected with a lot of draft personnel and so on with NFL teams. What are you hearing from your folks about the possibility and now the likelihood that college football will not happen?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And it's a tough situation. And I know a lot of people want to compare college football to the NFL. It's two different things. You're talking about 32 teams that are owned by people that have the money to fund the necessary precautions, the necessary safety, changing over your facility to facilitate all the protocols, all the requirements that are needed, the daily testing. The Pac-12, somebody told me the other day, the Pac-12 can't test every day. They don't have the it costs so much money to do all this. We're a part of it because we get tested. You know how much money that costs to do that on a daily basis? Who's going to pay for it? What's the plan? The other part of it is in the NFL and the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball, I know the leagues did things differently, but there was coordination. There was leadership. There was constant communication between the Players Association and ownership to formulate a plan that everybody could agree on and be comfortable with. Whereas in college football, there's not that leadership. And I'm not pointing any fingers. There's 100 and some odd schools, various different conferences. So everyone is kind of on their own little island.
But Vinny, here's the thing. I know you don't want to point fingers. I'll point a finger, sort of. I went to UNLV, so I have a natural predetermination against the NCAAs at times. But the NCAA, isn't that – they're the governing body. I mean, not of, you know, of NAIA schools and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at college football, shouldn't the NCAA maybe taking the lead? Again, that's just asking the question. That's not even being critical.
No doubt about it. But at some point, it has to get paid for as well.
Absolutely.
Where does that
money – the money can't come from.
Yeah, everyone's saying, oh, just – you know, just play. The kids want to play. Okay, what's the plan to keep them safe?
Yeah.
How are you executing the plan? Who's governing the plan? What say does a player do? The players have in that plan. How is it getting paid for on a daily basis to test people every single time that they walk into that building or multiple times per week? Right. And again, I go back to the facilities. NFL teams, those facilities look dramatically different this year than they did last year because everything is in place to make that as pristine and safe as possible. Who's paying for it? Where's that money coming from? Nobody's going to be going to games this year. It's hard to do. And I know everyone wants college football, but if you can't ensure the number one priority, which is to keep players and staff and coaches safe, if you can't ensure that in a way that you have to be able to, at whatever the cost it is, you can't do it. You can't cut corners on that, on that kind of stuff.
No, you can't, and that's spot on, Vinny. And another conversation that we had today on the show was about Paul Gunther and the defense, and if he's got enough weapons, if he's got enough players on that defense to make the Raiders relevant, not top five, not top three, but top 15 on the defensive side of the ball.
I'd be shocked if this defense wasn't more respectable this year compared to last year. The players are just too good that they brought in. Nick Kwiatkowski, Corey Littleton, Malik Collins, Carl Nassib, Demarius Randall. There's a lot of good proven players to go with some good young players that they've brought in these last couple of years. So when you can cover at your linebacker position, which they're going to be able to do with Littleton and Nick, and then whoever the weak side linebacker is, whether it's, you know, Tanner Muse or a combination of guys with various different skill sets, when you have that capability and you can rush the passer and you just have the horses, basically, you're going to be better. And I think that it might take a little while because obviously there was no offseason. You have 14 padded practices to get it together before serious preparations begin for the opener against the Carolina Panthers. But I think as the season goes on, that defense will get better and better just through, you know, familiarity and chemistry. In the meantime, it's up to the offense to kind of carry the load those first few games. And I think they're in position to do that. They may have to win some shootouts. You don't want to be in that world for very long, but you might have to those first, you know, two or three games until the defense can get their legs under them.
Well, and Vinny, we talked to Ted Nguyen from The Athletic, of course, does all the great film work. Yes,
Ted.
Your guy. And in talking to him, too, he brought up something so important with Paul Gunther's defense, especially when you're talking about these new linebackers, is the intellect that you need to play in this defense. And both Kwiatkowski and Littleton have that. I mean, they have great physical attributes, clearly, obviously, but when you look at the smarts and how they're able to communicate, you talk about the green dot with Kwiatkowski, that is so important, and that's why I have so much, I think, higher expectations of this defense, at least being middle of the pack.
It helps when you know what to do. There's no doubt about it. And Corey has some experience calling a defense. He for 1 year, he called the Rams defense. He's not the loudest guy. In fact, there were teammates that told me in the huddle, speak up, you know, what, you know, talk louder. But so I don't know if that's necessarily his role, the vocal leader, but the dude plays sideline to sideline. I think Raider fans are going to see a stark difference in their linebacker play, and that's going to set the tone for your whole defense, because their inability to cover affected the entire defense. Yeah. And it was just like having to make up for so much that wasn't happening in front of you when you're talking about your safeties and your cornerbacks, and they had their issues as well. I think they've addressed some of that. So I think collectively you're going to see that Paul didn't forget how to coach.
No. No, he's got the horses to run, and he's got the guys who understand it really well, and so now they just got to go out and perform. But Vinny, we appreciate you being here. And the minute we have left, though, we know Brent Musburger is going to be on the show. We know you're going to be talking about Jason Witten. What else do you have coming up on In the Huddle next here on Raiders
Radio? Randall Cunningham is coming on as well. He's the new team chaplain for the Raiders, obviously a legend. I saw him for the first time. I was a sophomore at Ventura High School in Ventura, California. Santa Barbara, one of our rivals from the Channel League, came rolling into town and just whipped us. And this kid by the name of Randall Cunningham was just dominant. And that's my first memory of Randall Cunningham. To this day, he's the best high school football player I ever saw. And I can't wait to get into it with him.
Also, yes. And he was an All-American punter at UNLV.
He should have been in the Pac-12. We'll talk about that. He was a Pac-12 player.
That'll be a great conversation. Vinny Monsignor.
We all know why he wasn't.
Coming up next on In the Huddle. For us, Q, have a good night, man. We'll be right back at it tomorrow, my man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. And Vinny, have a killer show like always.
All right. I appreciate it, Q.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow here at Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to you then. Take care, everybody.